welcome to Why Golf Opinion Matters. Now, this is the podcast where we celebrate everything there is about this amazing game, and we try to encourage as many people as possible to get involved, from those who are starting out to those who are experienced pros. If you want to know more, simply head to thisiswhygolf.com to find out more. So we have taken Why Golf Opinion Matters on the road. I am delighted to be here at the Belfry Resort, just outside of Birmingham. We're playing the Brabazon course today, and I'm super excited because I'm here to support my very good friend, Ed Chamberlain, who's the presenter on ITV Racing. A lot of his racing friends are here, loads of people from the sporting world, and it's in association with Wellchild. The aim is to have a lot of fun, hopefully play a little bit of good golf, but also to raise a lot of money. As we know, golf days do that. And interestingly, 30% of golf fans want brands to support charities. Today's going to be super special. I'm going to have to dash now and jump on a golf buggy. I don't know where my tee is, but I will speak to you very shortly. Absolutely delighted to be here with Ed Chamberlain, who we go back many years, Ed. The years have been kind. You're looking marvellous from this distance. You really
I've known
are.
You for what? More than 20.
And now heading the racing for ITV, which is brilliant. We're here at the Belfry for Wellchild. Now tell us, golf is big in your life. Charity is big in your life. Racing's massive. You've put them all together.
Football was.
And still is, I know, Southampton.
Oh, don't.
Oh, did they have any glory days?
No. Well, 76 they won the cup, but I was two.
Okay, fine. Enjoy that day.
Yeah, it was great. Remember it
Tell us about today and bringing all these people together and raising some cash, playing golf.
Unbelievable support I get, honestly, Stu Pot. When they first suggested this idea of an Ed Chamberlain golf day, 10 years ago it would be now, and I said, don't be daft. Who's going to play in an Ed Chamberlain golf day? And yet here we are, 10 years later, and we've got a waiting list, and we've got people wanting to play, and the support I get from the likes of yourself and AP and all these guys playing today is amazing. I can't thank people enough. And Wellchild, as you say, is something very close to my heart.
Yeah, tell us about Wellchild, just briefly.
So do you remember when I was very ill?
Yeah.
2009, and I was in Southampton General Hospital for too long, really. But while I was in there, the cancer ward next door was the kids' ward, and it just broke your heart seeing these kids in hospital, honestly. And you know, you're a mum, you can imagine what it was like. So I said, if I ever got better, which thankfully I did, and I was very lucky, I said I was going to raise money for a charity that got kids out of hospital and nursed at home. And that's what Wellchild do. Seriously ill children are nursed at home, so they're not in that hospital environment. And the Wellchild nurses who look after these kids are just unbelievable. You meet some amazing people, and what Wellchild does, I mean, the demand on it at the moment is greater than ever, so it needs support more than ever.
Yeah. So great news that you had an extra team turn up today. It's so popular today that you had
that
an extra team.
I was looking at them. Who are you? What are you doing here?
They've turned up and they've teed off the 15th and, you know, been part of the day, but it shows that how much support...
I've turned to Whispering Angel to
get me through. We've gone down the Whispering Angel route, but it's brilliant to see the support here today, but... You know, golf for you over the years has brought you a lot of joy. You play a variety.
It's brought me very little joy. It brings nothing but stress.
I want to say there's been joy today.
I've got the yips.
It's been in and out on the golf course today. But tell us when you started playing golf.
I used to follow my dad around. My dad was a very good cricketer for the army, loved his golf, and I used to follow him around with a little 8-iron and a putter like Max probably did with you. Mm. And yeah, just got into it from there. I played down at St Enedoc in Cornwall and Leckford in Hampshire and spirals from there, and I've got a 14-year-old who's getting mad about it as well. I just mustn't teach him to chip because I cannot chip. And it's driving me mad.
I can vouch for that, absolutely.
I've nearly killed you with a couple of them.
Well, yes, but we're still here, we're alive. But the joy of actually connecting with the shot. And
I haven't felt yet, but it's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
Yes, you have. And you just made par, didn't you, on 9?
Yeah, well,
which is
great.
I
don't want to talk about it.
But there are nuggets. There are moments where we go, do you know what? This is a brilliant game. And I know you love watching it as well. And it brings people together. And why golf is about, you know, highlighting the fact that golf is a community of people and we're all on the same page.
That, and look who it's brought together today, is great. And I haven't seen you for ages and we get to chat around the course. And to be honest, it's a great way of raising money as well because people have a great time. There's little competitions going on, and that's why a golf day is such a good way of raising money for a brilliant cause.
Yeah. We spoke to Zara Tindall a couple of weeks back, and they had the Mike Tindall Day here last week.
Not as good as this, though.
Not as good, no, in any way. This is far superior, and there's Whispering Angel as well. But it is, you're absolutely right. It's that connectivity and raising money, which is marvellous. Tell us about your favourite golf course that you play.
St Enedoc in Cornwall is where I'm a member. Links Course.
I remember.
Magic, where John Betjeman's church is, where he's buried. So it's full of history. The church hole's one of the hardest holes in golf. So I love playing there, love playing here at the Belfry with the iconic Ryder Cup holes. And
the 10th, which we're about to tee off.
Well, I made three last year and hit the green. So I'm going to go for it again.
Amazing. Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
You won't do it this year.
Early times.
No.
What
is the strength of your game? Is there a strength?
Oh, don't know.
Yeah, you're driving.
You
your driving's
I'll
pretty
tell you
good.
Later.
No.
I'll tell you later.
But you watched a lot of the golf. Who's your favourite golfer?
Who's my favourite golfer of all time would be Seve, without a shadow of a doubt. I like John Rahm because I won money on the Masters. So, you know, I like the occasional bet with the sponsors here today, Sky Bet. But Seve would be my favourite golfer of all time by a million miles. I actually loved him.
So this summer, the Open Championship is coming up. I spoke to Jamie Dornan a couple of weeks back. His money is on Rory McIlroy for all the majors. Who's your money on? Where's the smart money going?
Good question. I'd love a Brit to win it. Someone off the European Tour would be great. Tommy Fleetwood, I'd love to see win the top level. We'll all cheer on Rory. One of those guys from the European Tour. I think I'll cheer on Tommy.
My odds are 16 to 1 in this, which are completely ridiculous.
It was 16 to 1. You're now 660 to 1.
All right, you don't need to highlight that too much. The Ryder Cup, where are the odds there?
I hope it's going to be a great occasion. Rome should be spectacular, but the Americans would be hot favourites to win it. On paper, I mean, Europe have got no chance. They've got to create that team bond and use home advantage, and you never know, do you?
No, you never know. Ed, it's been marvellous. I'm hoping in the putting competition that Whispering Angel has helped you.
Yeah.
Let's go. Thank you.
Cheers.
So the barbecue's going on inside. I've managed to grab a couple of gentlemen, Chris Hughes and Rishi Prasad. Great to see you, boys.
Good to see you.
You've got big smiles. You must have played good golf.
Well, we're just happy to be in your company, I think.
Oh, bless you.
But I also played quite well.
Yeah, you did all right. Yeah. Get it in there.
Well, I'm liking both answers. Now, tell me about your game and why you're happy to be in my company. It'd be great.
Well, I struggle off the tee,
but
I scrambled quite well today.
Oh, good.
Which, as an amateur golfer, as you would know, is a real testament to the hard work.
It is. As an amateur golfer, I know. It is.
You know what
scrambling
they say?
Is it's, like, you've got to plot your way around the golf courses. Yeah. I did struggle. We started on 18, so going over the water on 18 was a really tricky start. So it took a little bit of time after a three-hour car journey. Chris, did you have good preparation? Did you go on the range at the start?
No, I didn't go on the range today. Sometimes, like, do you know, it sounds a bit weird, but I actually feel like sometimes I play better golf when I haven't warmed up and I'm a little bit stiff because I stay within myself.
Fair enough.
Which is a completely different approach. But like you just said, it is rewarding, isn't it? When you get up and down, you start scrambling well.
Yes.
As lefties. I feel like all us lefties.
We have
an element of a short game, don't we?
Oh, okay. You're both left-handed with your writing, are you?
I'm the weirdest human being you've ever met. I play snooker, I throw darts, I throw a cricket ball, I bowl, I write right-handed. But I play golf left-handed.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Do you bat left-handed or right-handed?
I bat left-handed.
Same.
But that's the only reason.
My God, we're like twins.
I know.
Separated.
Did we just become twins?
You're very close because you've got your hand on his knee as well.
It's because we're wearing the same colour trousers. I keep forgetting which knee is which. But
that's his knee. But if you're enjoying it, you can carry on. It's fine.
I did used to play right-handed till I was 21, though, and then switched.
And what handicap did you get to?
Oh, like high single figures.
Well, fair enough. And what about now? What's your handicap?
Six now.
Excellent.
So solid, solid enough.
So golf's been a massive part of your life.
Yeah, I love golf. It's just a great escape. Like, in it, genuinely speaking, I think just being able to get on a golf course, especially when the sun shines, like, there's no feeling like it. I know today, even when it sounds weird, but I know what I'm saying. Like, when the sun broke through today, it just perked me up.
Oh.
I feel like the whole mood of our four ball just was whoa, the spirits are high. And it's a great way to, you know, get good exercise, great for the mind, and it frees you up a bit. Yeah, I love the game.
Oh, totally. Did you do a little sun dance when the sun came out?
To be honest, I do
or
a sun
still
dance.
Scrambling?
with pleasure, though, with satisfaction of my excellent scrambling.
Yeah.
Every time I go and play golf, I do a sun dance because, obviously, being from the Caribbean, I struggle when the cloud cover comes over, when there's a bit of chill in the air, and when it's windy.
So you were fine with the 5.5 hour round today, then being from the Caribbean. That slow moving environment, that was suited you perfectly.
Perfect. In fact, I thought it was a bit quick.
That's not what you were saying 30 minutes ago.
No, but I love it when the sun's out. I mean, just like Chris says, one of the greatest joys of my life is when everything goes quiet at home. I live very close to my golf club, which is Effingham. I'm about less than 2 minutes in the car. I should really walk it. But when it's all quiet in the evening, about 7:30, and my wife and daughter are a bit more settled.
Yes.
And I nip out to the golf course.
Oh, it's one of the greatest times to play golf.
There's nobody up there. There's
evening golf.
There's, you're trying to pretend that you've done all the chores
He's done nothing.
He gets away to not do the chores.
Can I say?
Who are you trying to convince?
No, I do a lot of the cooking.
Do you? What do you cook?
Yesterday I did roast lamb, roast potatoes, carrot and swede. I didn't want to do it, but I did it.
I do a bit of health in there.
Cauliflower cheese and stuffing.
And you drove me up here.
And I drove him up here. And I made the lawn as well yesterday.
That's incredible.
I did tell my wife all of this at the end of the day before I left to say, you know, if you went to the shops and you looked for a husband and you looked on the shelf, you wouldn't find anything of that in one item.
Was there a keyhole today? Any hole that stood out for you that you played well?
Always like the challenge of 10.
Yeah.
And I did drill my tee shot right, but I had a lovely little spot and there's always quite open in the trees on the right. And I got up to about a 3 foot for birdie, missed it, made a par. Believe it or not, that was a standout moment of my day.
It's a great moment. It's a difficult hole. Yeah. What about yourself?
I can't remember what hole it was on because it was all a bit messy.
Yeah.
At one stage. But I hit my drive.
If I straight your arm, is that better?
It feels a lot better. Okay. I got to, I can't remember what hole it was, but I hit the drive into the bunker on the left and I had a 9-iron approach and the pin was on the left-hand side of the green and it was a narrow area and they were joking, saying, you know, aim middle of the green. So I went, no, I'm going to aim at the pin. And I put it to about 6 feet out of the bunker. It's a 9-iron. So
amazing.
No, I'm saying,
but it was a great approach shot.
That's a big mentality, yeah.
I see the shot.
See it
and
execute
I'm
it.
Believe that
well,
I can do it.
I played with Ed Chamberlain today and he kept saying on every tee, I am Ernie Els. Which was hysterical, and he definitely wasn't Ernie Els.
No, I bet.
He should start with being Ed Chamberlain.
I am Ed Chamberlain, but it did work on a couple of holes, so we have to give Ernie some kind of credit for it. Yeah, but thank you so much for being on our podcast. This is about growing the game and getting more people involved, and also talking about the community aspect and fundraising aspect of golf, which is marvellous. And it really does, the sport on a serious note, bring people together, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and you do a great job as well.
Oh, God bless you.
It's good, because it's like getting up and doing the podcast and doing all this, that takes effort, so I expect that.
Oh,
and
thank you so much.
And days like this, I know we all joke and we have a lot of fun and everyone takes the mickey out of each other, which is great, but that's all part of why this is such a great game, because we take the mickey out of each other about golf. Nothing about it is malice intended. There's no malice intended whatsoever. In fact, it's the complete opposite. The reason why we get on so well together, the reason why we can have a laugh with each other, is because of our golf game, because none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
And golf brings us all down to earth. And anyone who thinks that they get above themselves, go out on the golf course, play 18 holes, and you'll be just like the rest of us.
That is so true, so true. Even if you've got a couple of holes to play, you're completely out of the competition. We all stand on the tee and go, right, we've got this. Come on, we're back in it.
It's the only game where you can play so bad for 99% of it. And if you finish with an absolute worldie or something, mate, you want to go again, don't you?
Yeah. Did you just touch my leg?
Again.
It was the 14th time. It's fine, though. I'm not counting. Well, I am.
It was your knee.
But you guys worked together, don't you?
Yeah.
Which is
great.
Yeah,
unfortunately, we are. I am blessed with that privilege.
I know that you've got a great relationship.
We're some team, though, aren't we, when we get together?
I know. They try and keep us apart.
I have noticed that. I'd quite like to speak to the ITV bosses and get them together a little bit more. Our final question, our clubhouse curveball, as we like to call it. What is your drink on the 19th hole?
This, for me, is fully dependent on the weather conditions playing.
That's true, actually. Do you want something to warm you up in the winter?
Yeah, I'm torn between two here.
Okay, let's break it down.
I've slouched into my seat, so this is taking some thought.
I'm going to sit back as
well. This is going to be a while. Can we edit this down?
I have a weird fascination. I think hot chocolate at golf courses are really nice. They're sugary, real sugary, like sweet.
Boost.
But overly sugary, which is not great for children.
No, there is that, right? There is that. But it's just, on a cold day, it's nice, but then you also need to quench your thirst. I think Coke in any condition, I know it's boring, but a sugary Coke with ice in goes down an absolute treat.
Absolutely.
I feel like Gunners is a very popular drink, isn't it?
Yeah,
but I
that's
don't like
true.
The ginger stuff.
Yeah. Right, like ginger ale or ginger beer.
No, so I just see people order that a lot. So that's not actually my own opinion. I'm just talking for other people.
Yeah.
Orange juice lemonade.
Lovely.
What do they call that? Henry?
Is it Henry, Rishi?
Call that Henry?
I don't know.
I'll never really go
I
just
think, to... I think they I call that a Henry.
Do they?
I think so.
It's a bit right, it kind of depends if you're driving or not driving. So
sort of grabbing your chest there. Oh, is this a serious answer?
This is okay. When I put my hand... Is this not where your heart is? Just
is it heart? Yes. This is a hearty drink.
It's what I really mean. It's what I'm trying to say.
I'm more interested to see what you're about to say.
No, because it depends about driving, whether you're driving, because obviously if you're driving, you have to be responsible. Might be a lime and soda,
okay.
A pint of, but lots of ice because I want the ice to take away some of the.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
It can get you, can't it?
But you,
and it
can
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I'm not, lager shandy, but really crispy cold lager.
Lovely.
Those would be the two.
And it's that
options.
First sip, isn't it? After a round of golf, you're just like,
Yeah, are they the same quench. For you? A lager shandy?
No, not at all. I would probably go. I would probably go. I quite like orange juice and lemonade.
Yeah. Henry? Is that
sure
Henry?
It's a Henry. If it's not,
I feel like a Harry. I feel like I don't
Harry?
Know why I'm going Harry.
It's definitely not
it's
Harry.
It's not Harry at all.
I don't think so.
Who is Harry? I've just got Harry in my brain. Maybe I'm just talking
really
to someone.
It's a really strange one.
Yeah, it is odd. Or I would go, I just like champagne.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, it would have to be warm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm a cheap date. I can only do one or two. That's another subject. Chaps, it's been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you
so much. And we look forward to hearing you on the podcast and seeing you out on the golf course soon.
Good luck with the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you. AP McCoy. AP, you've come off the golf course today and you've just booked a lesson. What's going on?
I actually booked it halfway around. That's how bad my golf is, Di.
Oh, no!
It's a very, very frustrating game. And I suggest that anyone that gives up sport and wants to take up golf as a pastime, try something else.
I've played golf with you. You're a really good golfer.
No.
Sometimes.
I have a terrible attitude as well.
I didn't want to mention.
I have the complete opposite attitude that I have when I was a jockey.
Yeah.
Because I used to be a believer that everything, I was going to win and everything was positive. Forgot all the bad stuff straight away.
Wow.
Golf is the complete opposite. All I think about is the bad stuff, never think about the good stuff.
The water here at the Belfry.
Yeah, so anyway, very frustrating game, and there's no excuse. I've had long enough since I've retired to get better at it, and I'm not.
But it's a really hard sport. You were sort of, you know, reactionary on a horse your whole career.
Well, the good thing about a horse die is you can blame the horse. You were at Adair. I was watching Rory McIlroy hitting his TaylorMades, 300, 3-wood. Or he was hitting a 288 or something it was on the carry with a 3-wood. And I'm thinking, I've got two arms and two legs like him.
Yeah.
Why did the TaylorMade not work for me the same way as it does for him? So you can blame the horse.
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry.
But it's a stationary sport. It's really tough. You've got so much going on. You've got that little short period of time. Yeah. So you book your lesson. When for?
Book my lesson tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm
do you often do that, like if it's going wrong on the course?
I do. You know what, I've had a few little moments in my life for about 6 weeks or 8 weeks at a time when I think, I have got it.
And do you tell people, do you call them up?
Yeah, it's a little while since I've had it. It's probably 3 years, but 3 years ago I really, really thought I had golf sorted.
Yeah.
And then it's just gone, and it's just, everything's gone. There's so much going on in my head, I don't know what happens. But anyway, it's a good, look, we're here for a great cause. We're Ed's Day here for a well child, and you get to invite it to the most beautiful places. You know, a lot I would never give out about golf, because you get to meet wonderful people, you get to go to amazing places, and all that ruins it is golf, really.
No, I know you're jesting. We get so much from
I'm
the sport.
I'm actually not.
I know. Just maybe just walk next time.
I don't know.
But you play, you've got loads of stuff coming up, loads of events.
You're playing on
the Legends Tour.
I am.
You've got Kenny Logan's golf day.
I'm going to France in a couple of weeks for Tag Heuer
with
Jimmy Nesbitt and Brian Odiscombe and Robbie Fowler. Loads of lads that are great fun. Ali McCoist. And it's
You'll have a terrible time.
Yeah, so a terrible time. So that's what I'm saying. If I could just get a little bit better.
If
I could just play golf, I'd be away.
You can. What about the Legends Tour? Yeah. Tell us about that.
The Legends Tour is a great event. Obviously you can pay to play in it as an amateur, as a businessman. You can go and play with, you could end up playing with Ian Woosnam or whoever it may be, a major winner, and get to hang out with him for 3 days. And and then actually a lot of ex sports people play in them, and they put up a lot of money for charity as well. So
it's
a great event, and as I say, you get, look, any of those events, you know, as well as you get, if you, we're very lucky. I'm spoiled. I've got to play with every golfer on the planet. Hasn't made me any good, but I appreciate it, and I appreciate it how good they are. And if anything, it's probably made me worse, because the more I watch them, the more depressing it is, you know, and thinking, like, how can you be so good at that?
We're getting an insight into your brain.
Yeah, I know. I'm not very good at coping with mediocrity, and that's what I am at golf.
Yeah, win. So. Win at all costs.
What sport's was your, all about winning.
Yeah. What was your favourite golfing moment?
I played with Tiger Woods in 2010 in Adair Manor, and it's Tiger Woods, isn't it?
Wow.
You know, Tiger
how
Woods
many
is... I only played once.
You played one.
Been very lucky. I've got to play with Rory 10 or 12 times. I've been very lucky. I've got to play with lots of good golfers.
Yeah, who's got the best banter? Whose company do you enjoy the most?
I actually really enjoyed Tiger's company.
Did you?
Really enjoyed Tiger's company. He was very chatty. It was 2010 anyway.
2010, but
he was really
you...
good. He was really good company. Spoke a lot about injuries and spoke a lot about... But to be honest, I feel a little sorry for him. Now, everyone would love... You'd love to be Tiger Woods. But he doesn't really... It's very hard for Tiger Woods to have a normal life. And you can't be Tiger Woods and have a normal life. But you see him in places. You see him at a Adair Manor. And he can't go anywhere. He can't go out. He can't... You know what I mean? He can't walk down the street. You know what I mean? He's probably one of the most famous people in the world. And I suppose that's the price you pay for being a global icon, you know? And for him to do full circle from being... the greatest golfer, or one of the greatest sports people ever on the planet, to not being a particularly liked person, to being back again, to being, you know, to being one of the
adored again,
you know what I mean? So he's gone full circle on it, and you know, he's different.
He totally is. Do you feel different. Like there's a softening with him now? He's far more, you know, he's far more at ease with the media and gives more now.
Yeah, and I suppose he's getting older. And look, to be... I say it, I'm not one of these people, but all people like Tiger Woods, people like Mike Tyson, like Zinedine Zidane, like Diego Maradona, like Michael Schumacher, there's a bit of madness in them all. There's because they have what, they have a switch, you know, and it's like, as the song says, it's like, I don't like Mondays, it's like the silicon chip inside your head when it switches to overload, and they have all that little silicon chip that just... makes them do things other people won't, and that's why they're different.
It's the same as you.
No, I'm not like that. I'm normal. But that's what I'm saying. You cannot be a
champion jockey to get to that level. You've got to have that switch.
Anyway, I'm all right. Anyway, but you cannot be a Tiger Woods, you know what I mean, and be normal.
There's nothing normal about Tiger Woods. Mm. You know, so his whole existence is very difficult.
And I say it about sports people, and everyone's different, but. And I, as I said, I played golf with young Tyler Weaver yesterday, and he needed 9 birdies off the back tees in Sunningdale. And he needs to get to the point where he needs to... It's a very close thing from having too much ego and too much arrogance, but you need it, and you need to have something inside you that makes you think... Tiger Woods, from the moment he played golf, knew that everyone was coming to watch him. You know what I mean? He didn't worry about all the people, because they're not here to watch anyone else.
Mm.
And I do think that about... really elite sports people genuinely believe when they go to a big sporting event, the people are all there to watch them.
Mm.
You know, they're not there to watch the also run. Do they
use that as fuel?
Of course they do. Yeah. They don't think, well, I'm here to perform for them. They don't care about all the other people that are playing. And in their heads, they genuinely believe that they're only there to watch. Tiger Woods is, and that's why he's been so good at coping with it, because he had to live it all his life, and he thinks that, and they are all there to watch him. That's the long and the short of it. Even now.
Final question, what's your drink? I know you don't drink alcohol.
I don't
alcohol,
drink. But sometimes I wish I did.
What's your drink on the 19th hole?
What's my drink? I am very boring.
Fizzy?
Yeah, probably a Coke Zero or something, yeah.
Oh, okay. You're going zero, not full
I don't
fat.
Drink because I just don't. I was never brave enough to drink. I was always worried that I'd like it. And I have a very addictive personality, and I'm a control freak, so... I have lots of reasons, and I do a lot of stupid stuff without drinking, so...
Oh, we'll go in for the presentation. AP, you're
not
a star.
Not to me.
Thank you. Not nothing going to him.
I hate presentations that are not for me.
Are you leaving early?
I might do, actually.
Oh, no! Okay.
No, I'm not. Thank you.
Good to chat. Thank you.
Always.
We'll be chatting to more people participating in Ed Chamberlain's Golf Day shortly, but just before we do, I wanted to tell you about who we caught up with on the last episode of Why Golf Opinion Matters. It was none other than Hollywood actor and model Jamie Dornan. He told us about his nightmare when playing at Sunningdale with Tim Henman.
I fully, and the only time in my life have I had that I had the shanks, but like full on. Thanks, I'm not talking, I maybe have the only one where I have like a shank out of nowhere, but like I couldn't play golf.
His loyalty to friend and fellow Irishman Rory McIlroy.
It's similar to where the American audience is. What they lose if Tiger doesn't make the cut, they lose like 70% of their audience or something like that. It's an insane figure, someone told me. I'm a bit like that with Rory, because she's a big part of it for me.
And Jamie also told us his why golf.
There's probably more that you'll get out of it than you think you will, and whatever sort of predetermined ideas you have of the game and the type of people who play the game, you're probably going to be proven wrong.
Make sure you go back and listen if you haven't already, and hit subscribe on your favourite podcast provider for a new episode, Why Golf Opinion Matters, every 2 weeks. Now let's go and find some more people at Ed Chamberlain's Golf Day. I am here with Matt James, the CEO of Wellchild. Matt, great to see you. Can you tell us a little bit about Wellchild?
Of course, so great to be here. So Wellchild is the national charity for seriously ill children and their families. We support children and young people who suffer from very long-term complex medical conditions. And our primary focus is to ensure that they can be cared for at home with their families instead of spending months, if not years, in hospital. And it's not just about ensuring that they're home in the first place, but it's ensuring that they can thrive at home. And that's what Wellchild is all about.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And how long has Ed Chamberlain supported you?
Ed's been involved with Wellchild for about 15 years. In fact, today's the ninth year of his golf day.
So we're
very fortunate to have an ambassador like Ed who has supported us so much over the years. We're very fortunate.
There are so many stories behind your charity, aren't there? And I think personalising it, we heard a video earlier, and just to bring it to life about what the struggles are that many people face day in, day out. And it's great to you need to advertise your charity, don't you, to get it out there, to get the word out there. So days like this are super important.
Absolutely. Days like this are incredibly important at telling that story, telling the story of families who quite often are struggling behind closed doors, incredibly isolated, having to deliver round-the-clock medical care to a child with highly complex medical needs, when a lot of people on the outside don't really understand the reality of life for you. So what days like today provide is not only just a fundraising opportunity, but they're also an opportunity for us to tell that story and shine a light on a population of families that really need the wider society to understand what they're going through.
And golf in particular, why golf?
Well, you know, at Wellchild and charities of all shapes and sizes, fundraising is challenging. So we have to think of creative and different ways that we can engage people with our story, with our message, and of course, raise funds. And what golf provides is a great opportunity to tap into a rich vein of people's passions up and down the country. People who want to do good and who invest an awful lot of time and energy into their sport. And this, through golf, what we're able to do is really channel that in a really socially positive way. Mm. And that's what I love about this day, is that people are coming out. Yes, it's a great day, a sunny day at the Belfry. Who wouldn't like that? But there's a real social purpose behind it. And I think golf provides that. And that's what we're trying to achieve.
Oh, it definitely does. It's such a social environment. The people make it, don't they? And the people here today have been great fun. And also having the mini competitions, I think, from my background, basically sport brings people together and sport changes lives. So whatever can happen today will definitely have a ripple effect and help your charity, which is marvellous.
Absolutely. And you know what sport has is that great set of values at its very core. And that's what charity is all about, right? Is that those social values. And so we're very fortunate to have so many great people here who've had such a positive day, and it's going to have such a positive impact on our charity, and I couldn't be more appreciative.
Thank you, Matt. I think it's time for a burger now, isn't it?
That sounds
perfect.
We're
starving. Thank you.
Thank you.
Helen Richardson Walsh, Olympic gold medalist, former hockey player, GB hockey player. Great to see you. I love it when another female is out on the golf course. You haven't played golf in a while, though.
No, I haven't. I've not played since I was pregnant in 2019. So I know, nearly 4 years. Yeah, it's been a while. Too long.
How did it go today?
I warmed up into it, let's just say that. I was hoping, I did kind of think, let's practice before I got here, but that didn't happen, obviously, with a little one. And I was hoping for beginner's luck again, which didn't happen. But
yeah,
all right.
It's one of those games where you have to put in a bit of practice, actually. Yeah. When did you start playing golf? At what age?
Golf was just one of those sports that I just kind of grew up playing. So I've got three older brothers and we played everything. And golf was one of those ones. We would just go down to the par three and just have a bit of a hit.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily a regular thing. It was just one of the sports that I just enjoyed playing.
Yeah. So from a pretty young age with three brothers, you've got to get involved, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got two sisters and a brother. And we were always taken out to play just at the golf range or to hit some balls, which is great, you know. Great thing to do as siblings together. But obviously hockey was sort of the dominant sport in your life. I'm thinking, because I've played both sports, it's quite a few similarities.
Yeah.
But I was dropped from my hockey team because when I took the hockey stick back, it was too high.
I know, but...
And I kept getting the whistle blown. And, yeah, it's hard when you play both sports not to do that.
Yeah, it is, but this frustrates me about hockey in schools in particular, because you can raise your stick that high, that's the thing. And I think as teachers, they did it for safety, but you can in normal hockey.
Yes,
so,
you can, can't you?
Yeah, yeah,
it's
so
Olympic
you shouldn't,
level.
Exactly, you shouldn't have got blown up for that. So
Completely.
That's frustrating to hear.
I'm going
to
go back to my teacher. You ruined my hockey career.
Imagine where you could have gone.
I know. But are there any similarities?
Well, I think so. It's similar, isn't it? In the fact that there's a very similar swing. Hockey, I think, is a little bit more of a rounder swing, whereas golf's a bit more up and down.
Yeah.
And actually, I did have literally a handful of lessons before... when I retired from hockey.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I didn't realise I was doing, and he just kind of corrected that a little bit. So, yeah, there are loads of similarities.
Yeah. It's
just
obviously
with
not
less running,
isn't...
which is great.
Less running, totally, because hockey's exhausting. But it's not a reactionary sport, is it? So
no.
You've got a lot more time to think. And that's what I think gets a lot of people who are sporty coming to golf. It's like, ooh, I've got to control this a lot more.
Yeah, that's very true. And actually, so I was one of the penalty takers in my hockey career and also in Rio. And that was probably one of my strong points, was the ability to control my mind. And I can transfer that. I do feel like that really does hold me in good stead when I'm out on the golf course. When you're that feeling when you're on the first tee,
yes,
and you have to, you've got everybody behind you watching and you're thinking, oh my god, just get it straight. And that ability to just control your core and control your mind, I think is really helpful.
Gosh, I could only imagine taking a penalty. I remember the days of taking a penalty at school, but to take it in an Olympic Games at the highest level, I mean, as you walk towards the ball, what's going through your mind?
Well, after years of practice, just thinking about my technique and not scoring, just ignoring everything else that's going on, but just thinking about going through the process of positive self-talk. So, when that it's going to happen, you're kind of telling yourself, oh, I'm ready for this, I've done the practice, I feel good, I'm going to score. And then for me, it was about strong core, tight grip, and just... keeping my head down, so just going through those type of things as I was walking up to take it.
A routine, which is what a lot of golfers have, like a preset routine.
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed today?
I've loved it. I've absolutely loved it. I kind of, when Pete messaged me to say, will you play? I was humming and ahhing because I thought, oh God, I've not played for a while. And I almost just went, right, just do it and help you get yourself back into it. And totally. So hopefully this will be the thing that ignites my
passion
playing golf
again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And the sun is out, which is glorious.
It is beautiful.
Sport in the sunshine is always a bit better, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We're raising a load of money with some brilliant people. Final question, what is your drink on the 19th hole?
I love a shandy, a lager shandy. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Richard likes a lager shandy, as well.
You're so thirsty, aren't you?
Yes, have you had one?
I've had one,
Oh, good, did it go down well?
It's gone down very well,
good.
Thank you.
And the food's quite nice.
It's very
nice, yet.
Very good.
Right. Listen, wonderful to chat to you.
Yes,
were you in
too.
The prizes, by the way?
No.
Oh,
no.
Shame. Everyone I've spoken to out here said I don't need to be in the presentation because I'm not involved at all. I hope your golfing journey continues.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Helen.
Thank you. treat to be here in the sunshine, actually, isn't it, Matt, at the Belfry. Matt Banahan, former England Rugby Union and Bath rugby player. I have lots more things to say about you, Matt, but I'm going to end there. I could be very complimentary.
No, please don't.
Oh, OK. Can I be complimentary about your golf? How was it today?
It was tough. It's obviously the start of the golf season, so there's some good, there's some bad, but yeah, that is the challenge of golf, and that's why we keep coming back.
Yeah, I saw some really dodgy short game scenarios today, like around the greens though, here at the Belfry on the Brabazon. It's really tough, isn't it?
Yeah, the rough was a little bit sticky, a bit long, and obviously the greens are just about 3 or 4 weeks away from being really good for the British Masters, so they were tough to not know where to land on. But it's such a great course and the setup's tough, and it was even when we were forward tees, it's a challenge. And yeah, it beat me up today.
Yeah, me too. I'm feeling quite frustrated having come. We actually started on the 18th tee, so starting on 18 is really tough, and it was a lot colder earlier on.
It was freezing, yeah.
So I'm getting the excuses in early.
Well, I went 3 wood, 6 iron to 5 feet and missed the birdie putt.
Oh, my. Oh, that is frustrating. Yeah. I'd still sleep at night, not thinking about my score. But we're looking at the 10th. Did you drive the 10th?
I went for it and I missed it a bit right, and then I was straight
that's
behind
okay,
a tree,
that's the way
so I ended up just picking up my ball because my two partners were on there with shots, so I let them have it.
You've done well then, because a lot of people don't pick up their ball when the best two scores to count. They're sort of carrying on with, oh, 8, 9. No, you can pick up your ball. You're not counting on this hole.
Yeah, I'm always very conscious of looking at the group ahead of me when I play in competitions or stuff like that, because the law or the rule is keep up with the group in front of you, so you don't want to let them get going. So
yes,
when I see how other people are, that's where my focus is forward, whereas most people look backwards, making sure the group's still behind them. It's not. We should be looking forward and making sure we're keeping up to the group in front.
That's a really good point, really good point. And I think it's ingrained in you as the years go by playing golf, just to be aware, visually aware of who's in front, who's behind, but who's in front in particular.
Yeah, so awareness even when you're teeing off, that where you know where people are coming down a different fairway if you have to shout four, because sometimes you won't have to if people aren't on that hole. And sometimes if you're looking behind, you see the four ball let a two ball through, you might as well start slowing down to then create a gap for that two ball to then slide through in front of you, because we all want to be out on the course, and I'd rather not hold up a two ball and make their day 45 minutes longer, where you could let them through and it makes no difference to your day.
Yeah, so you're basically playing golf, you've just got to be on it, haven't you, with all your senses?
Yeah, definitely. And at the same time, we all come out here because it's enjoyable, it's a leisure activity. We don't want to ruin somebody else's day. So, like you said, it's a peripheral vivid vision of 360, but a lot of people, as we all say, we're amateurs, we get so in depth of our game, we forget about what's going around, if our day's going good or bad. Sometimes we've all played with people when their day's going good, they won't talk to us, or it's going bad, they definitely don't talk to us.
Totally.
So there's a lot of pressure on the golf course of keeping up with the rules or the expectations, but luckily, from the background I have in sport, I'm very aware of what's around me.
Yeah. Can you tell a lot about somebody's personality by their demeanour on the golf course?
100%. Yeah. 100%. I feel that off the tee, it's you're guessing, because the ball, people's expectations are a lot high, they think they should flush everything down the middle, but percentage wise you think majority of the time you're going to be in the rough. But around the short game, when they miss the green and their clubs are going throwing, people are stamping their feet, you see the arms go to the air, you can figure out how somebody's game is going around the green.
When did golf first come into your life?
I've always played golf when I was a child in Jersey. I'm very lucky that I went to a primary school right next to Lamoy Golf Club, which is a gorgeous golf course over there. And when I was a child at primary school, I went over there. Ian Woosden was the role model, who's still there now. And I've been lucky enough to, last year, got invited to go play in the Legends Tour over there. I played last year and I've been invited again this year. So I'm over there in June to play on the Legends Tour. So it's nice going back, but I started at a young age. My nan was a good county golfer, so they brought it in. I've instilled it into my children now, because it's a good habit of taking in turns. So where kids are rushed, you have to take it in turn. If you're further away, there's a dress code you have to adhere to. And for me, as a sports coach that I love coaching, is the grip of a golf club can fall into so many other grips of cricket, tennis, any racket sport, throwing a ball, the same grip of how your hand and your wrist cock. And I've just tried to breed that into my kid. Just, they might not play golf, but if somebody said, here's a racket, they know how to hold it.
Yeah.
I think sport in general is what we try and get our children into. It doesn't matter if it's any sport, just because it's so good for them mentally and physically. But for me, mentally, to be able to rock up some and not be the odd one out.
Yeah, completely.
And the amount of children we've seen that you take them some and they've never held something in their hand because it's an alien object. So the more we can get children either playing, say, cricket, tennis. Think if somebody, a child be brought up in tennis,
yeah,
they'll be able to play golf.
You can, well,
yeah.
You're thinking of Rafa Nadal, you know, he's obsessed with his golf, isn't he?
Yeah, Laurie Cantor, one of my best mates from Bath, he's brought up a tennis player.
Yeah.
And he's now a top flight golfer.
It's interesting because we spoke to Zara Tyndall on the podcast a few weeks ago, and she was talking about the fact that she wants to take her three out in the future and play, you know, make memories with the kids out on the course and being out in the fresh air and doing something together. It's a bonding experience.
Yeah, and with the benefits of golf is that you can go anywhere around the world and play it, and there's a reason for a handicap that I play with my son off 36 off at 12 years old, but I can play off scratch and we can play together. We can play off different tees. I push him right to front and I say, I'll tee off. When I'm walking towards you, tee off. And yeah. there's that can go to a generation above me or two generations, and you can put multiple people together playing off different tees at the same time, but playing together.
Totally. Yeah, my son's here today and he played the last hole with us, and we gave him a couple of shots, and it's brilliant. So he's part of our little mini competition on the final hole. You've played a bit of pro golf.
Yeah, I got roped in a couple of years ago by my home course, Cumboyle Park, just outside Bath in Bradford-Avon. Ali James and the James family offered me a place in Europro because I was playing for the first team at the time.
I used to work on the Europro.
Yeah,
loved it.
So it's brilliant. It's a great stand. So I just wanted to, at the end of my rugby career, see where I sort of what I was about against professionals. I wasn't there to win it. I wasn't able to win it. And I realised that their game, their short game, their yardages and their putting is just phenomenal. Yeah. And you think Europro's still probably third division down.
Yeah.
And they were still so much better. So since then, I've just been working hard on those areas of my game. And then a couple of weeks passed, I went down and ended up playing in the Cornish Festival.
Right.
Good friend Laurie Cantor was supposed to be playing in it as a professional, but he then got called up to the LIV in Adelaide.
Yes.
So then they couldn't get a professional to fill the spot within 10 days. And one of my other friends who's a local professional said, well, Matt can step in because he plays with scratch, he can play. So first experience since sort of September playing competition golf and playing 3 days on three different courses, and two of course I've never played before.
Okay, it's a big challenge.
Yeah, Point and Polzeath, Newquay and Trevose. I played Trevose before, but
beautiful.
It's an experience. And Pete Baker, former Ryder Cup player, he won it. But so you're playing with such great players. Scott Drummond played, Dave Dixon played. So the field's strong, and I just enjoy playing golf. I enjoy challenging myself. The goal was not to come last, and I think I was 62nd or 67th. And
how many in the field?
I think just under 100.
Oh,
so yeah,
high
so
five.
Yeah,
amazing it's stuff.
And I'm never scared of failure. I'm never scared of making a fool of myself.
Yeah.
Especially on a golf course, because you speak to many golfers. I remember playing the first BMW Wentworth.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous.
I remember that.
2013, 2014, and the pro I was playing with, Alexander Levy. We're playing with Alexander Levy walked around with us, and he said, Banners, he said, remember, they're not here to watch you. They're here to watch pros. They expect you to make mistakes. And ever since then, I've really enjoyed playing in it each year.
Brilliant. Yeah. It's just those little nuggets you take, isn't it?
And I've been very fortunate that I've taken people to caddy for me to make them have an experience.
Yeah.
So last year, I had Colin Edwards, who's, I think, third most highest England-capped golfer.
Yeah.
So Colin's 50-ish. And
okay.
He's... was Gary Wolstenholme's caddy at the Masters because they were England golfers together.
Yeah.
So Colin's my first team partner at Cumberwell. So I took him up, and then I messaged a lot of the boys who Colin was England captain for, Eddie Pepple, Laurie, Simon Dyson, Andy Sullivan. So I messaged all them, and they all came to see him whilst he was on my bag, and he got to see lots more. So it's where golf can have such more of a reach than what you think.
Yeah.
Because it carries decades. People play golf to 70, 80. It's not like rugby, you finish at 35 or any other sport.
Yeah.
You can keep playing top level golf until your late 50s, 60s. Now with a seniors tour, you can play even longer.
Yeah, oh, that is such a lovely story. Mm. It's really bringing people together. It's gorgeous. It is nerve-wracking though the first time you do play. But yeah, they're not there to watch you. They're watching the pros. So just feel free to do whatever. And it does, you kind of let go then, don't you? But we always ask people on our podcast some clubhouse curveballs. And the final question is always, what is your drink on the 19th hole?
I'm not a big alcohol drinker anymore. I just love fizzy drinks. So
okay.
I love an old school pint of Coca-Cola in the sun, dreamy.
Yeah.
But I don't drink anymore. I didn't drink when I played rugby. So it's never a tipple that ever fancies me.
So just something fizzy.
Yeah, I'm the sensible one that likes taking people home at the end of the night.
Oh, brilliant. You're great to go out with.
Yeah.
Meet driver.
Yeah, exactly.
Designated driver.
You're joking.
That's
about
marvellous.
It. It's been for 20 years I've been like that
before.
I bet
you have. Well, the budget doesn't stretch to a pint of Coca-Cola. I'm sorry.
That's
but
fine.
We'll just smile at you and you can enjoy the sunshine.
I will definitely enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah. Oh, it's been great to chat to you.
And
thank
you too, darling. Thank you.
You.
Remember, if you like what you've heard, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider, and the next episode will drop into your feed. And we will have the next episode of Why Golf Opinion Matters on the 9th of June. From myself, Di Stewart, it's goodbye for now.